Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Sean Broderick, natural resource analyst over at Weiss Ratings. Now Sean, it's been a little while since we've had you last on the show, and the real theme of these markets, doesn't really matter what sector you're looking at, is weakness, sell-off, some people even saying meltdown here. Either way, with the Fed seems like tightening and telling everybody they're going through 50 basis point hikes, and the markets even looking ahead and saying, hey, there might be a recession here, or the economy is slowing down, or quite frankly, there just isn't that much free money out there that we just can't go up because, well, investors, they're not getting that free money. What are you seeing in these markets, Sean? Are you taking that side of saying, look, these markets are weak and they're going to get weaker? Do you think that the bounce is coming?
I'm expecting more weakness, though some bounces along the way would not surprise me. In fact, the morning of the day you and I talked, we saw a bounce, and I used that as an opportunity to add another inverse fund. I have a few inverse funds on, SDS, PSQ, SQQQ, and also DUST. DUST is the double inverse gold miners fund. And I was having a discussion with someone last week on Twitter, and it was a respectful discussion, which is surprising on Twitter, right? But nonetheless. And so that person was saying, because gold miners had taken a big leg down, and they're right, really. Historically, when these gold miners have a big leg down, that's when you want to buy them, because they normally, I'm sure he didn't use the word normally, rebound higher. But I put up my chart saying, yeah, but this looks an awful lot like a bear flag, which means that if that bear flag breaks, we're going to have another 20% down in gold miners. And that seems to be what's happening. I don't like gold here. I still like oil and gas. I've been forced. No one's holding a gun to my head. But I found it prudent to take half gains on some oil and gas positions this week, just because, you know, the gains are like frittering away. But say longer term, fundamentals in those markets are very bullish. So I still like oil and gas here. They're also good inflation hedges. We just saw gasoline hit another high. So think of refiners if you're looking for a play there. But I'm staying away from gold, staying away from other metals. Had to exit Vale at a loss, which is unfortunate. But they got kicked in the knees because they sell iron. China's had a lockdown. We saw what happened with the Chinese imports and exports. They seem to be flatlining now. So that makes people think, well, they aren't going to be buying a lot of metal in the future. And so metal suppliers like Vale are really getting kicked much lower. So just had to exit. Maybe I'll be able to buy it cheaper in a while. I hope so. I still think we can have a substantial commodity bull market. I just think this is a big pullback, which is aggravated by the pandemic, by what's going on with Russia, by a bunch of things. It's just making this particular pullback worse. And so because I think there's more downside, adding bearish positions and trimming portfolios is not a bad thing to do.
Yeah, Sean, glad you brought up that side of the equation of either shorting the markets and or pulling profits along the way, at least partial profits. There's nothing wrong with hedging one's bets, and a lot of investors really approach the markets with tunnel vision where they're only trading from the long side, but there are plenty of ways to short certain sectors or stocks as well as use inverse ETFs. And as far as pulling profits in the oil and gas stocks, that's probably going to be a prescient move because as things pull back like they have been recently, it gives you some ammo to be able to go in and acquire those same positions at a better cost basis or start new positions. So are there any sectors right now that you are staying long, staying strong in, or are there any sectors that you're accumulating with some of that cash that you feel represent a good value opportunity for investors?
Yeah, well, most utilities are overpriced, but I just added a new one, which is very exposed to Texas. And the reason that I'm doing that is because Texas is having a hell of a heat wave right now in May, which it shouldn't have. Part of that is related to La Nina. And because of La Nina and other factors, NOAA, and here I'm going with like all the freaking acronyms. I'm sorry about that. But they're the people that watch the weather. They think that the U.S. is going to have a long, hot summer. So if the U.S. is going to have a long, hot summer, what do you want to be invested in? A utility that, you know, sells into that market is not a bad thing to do. I will say again, most utilities are overpriced because people are looking for safety, and utilities tend to be a place of safety. But another thing to look at, and I will get back to this again, nobody wants to stay home this summer. And if it's going to be hot, they're going to especially want to be traveling. I don't know if either of you have like tried to book a vacation rental recently, but it is nuts. Everybody's going everywhere.
Everything about traveling is expensive right now. It's wild.
Right, right. So like the people that make the gasoline refiners, they should have a good summer. They really should. And meanwhile, what's going on in Europe is certainly doing natural gas a favor. You have to admit that. That looks great. So there are things that look really good here. One more thing I'll add is like fertilizer. Russia's a major supplier of many things used in fertilizer. And obviously, that's getting to be a tight market. Some companies will be hurt by that because they have inputs, which are going to be harder and harder to get. But you find a company like, say, Mosaic, which we own, which had a terrible week, but we're still okay. That's going to go higher. That, and we also have an Israeli company. What's that called? ICL, I think. So look for companies that are in agriculture. There are also the agriculture ETNs, wheat, SOYB for soybeans, corn for corn. We're probably going to see food prices go higher, especially for the grains, you know, because they're just in huge demand. And so that's another thing that I would look at. Water is something you should look at. Usually it's very boring. It might not be boring this summer, that's for sure. So yeah, there are things you can look at that are quite good. Most of my stuff I like right now is energy related. I do have some bearish positions on, but I am predominantly long. I'd love for the market to turn around and go higher. I just don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I think we're going to zigzag our way lower. So I just put on some insurance against that happening.
Sean, why don't you think some more of the safe havens are getting a buy here? I realize that when we do have these environments where markets are melting down, people do get margin calls and they need to sell really whatever they can. But it's not like the gold stocks outside of the big names or, quite frankly, bonds or many of the defensive sectors were doing well even last month. So we were seeing weakness broadly even in safe havens. Why aren't they getting at least a little bit of support?
I know, right? They haven't been acting like safe havens, but it's the thing. When you have to sell, you sell what you can, not what you want, right? And so that's what we're seeing. And I used to talk a lot with this old guy, Charlie Belita, who's long since left us. But when he started on Wall Street, his family had an outhouse. That's how long ago he started. But he had a saying for everything. And his saying for this kind of market is, when the paddy wagon comes along, the good girls get taken downtown right along with the bad. And so that's what we're happening. Now, the good news is, and I should preface this again, because I swear to God, it takes 15 times to get anything through anyone's head. I don't think we're at a bottom, but many people did not get a chance to buy what they wanted during the midst of the pandemic because they were curled up on their couches just freaking out. We might come to a great buying opportunity for all sorts of things. And I'm not saying tech. I think the last time I was on your show, I spoke about this thing that I've been hammering in my columns, which is the rotation from growth to value. That is ongoing. Look for those stocks that have great cash flow, pay dividends, even better if they raise dividends regularly. Those are the stocks people want to buy. I had a column on like Saturday, I think. This is on wealth-wave.com, by the way, that just compared the performance of the S&P 500, the S&P 500, all the dividend stocks in it, you know, and then a high dividend fund. Guess which one is actually doing quite well this year? High dividend stocks are doing well because people are looking for value and they're going to continue to look for value. When we see these changes from growth to value, which is what we're seeing now, it takes years. Just like when the change goes from like value to growth, which will happen eventually, then you want to be in all the tech stuff or God knows what they'll be promoting at that time, NFTs that are implanted in your skin. I'm not sure what's going to be the next big thing, but right now, you should be focused on value. And so if someone says, you know, Twitter looks cheap right now, does it really? Does it really look cheap? I know it's had a big fall. It can go a lot lower. Google can go a lot lower. These stocks can get hammered. And there's actually two kinds of tech stock. And I don't want to get too deep in the weeds. There are those that have good cash flow and are actually making a profit and not issuing lots of shares and actually seem to have some kind of sound financial footing. And then there are those that don't. Twitter is a prime example of the stock that does not work fundamentally. So avoid that one anyway. So this is what I think people should do. Look for value stocks. When the bottom comes, buy them. In the meantime, you can buy things. I mean, I just told people to buy a Texas utility. I think there is great value out there. But be very selective in what you buy. And it should probably pay a dividend, because if you're wrong, at least you get paid to wait, right? That's the nice thing about a dividend stock. You get paid to be wrong, paid to wait until things actually go your way. Now, of course, things might not go your way, but in this particular environment, odds much more favor value stocks, dividend stocks. These are the things that should tend to do well over the longer term.
Well, Sean, absolutely. There's been a shift from growth into value really over the last 6 months, and people are looking for those dividends. They are looking for defensive sectors. That's why utilities and consumer staples have done so well. We'd like to see more interest in the precious metals, but energy has done well, to your point. I know you follow the whole energy sector, so I'd be curious to get your thoughts on metals that are energy metals we don't talk about as much, and that is the lithium sector. What are your thoughts on energy metals?
Well, I took half gains on one lithium stock today. We had about 50 something, but it had been 80% before. And I got stopped out of, I got stopped out of two other lithium positions, which I hate. God, I do a lot of research on these stocks. These are good, sound, fundamental companies. Why is lithium being sold so hard that it's ruining my day? I can tell you this. The lockdown in China, and it's not just Shanghai, it's spread to other cities. It's really not doing China any favors, you know, because they are trying to lock down against something that's so easily transmissible that these lockdowns don't work. They worked when they were dealing with a version of the virus that wasn't so transmissible. Now it's so that a lockdown doesn't work anymore. So they're not helping themselves that way, but they're really throwing a wrench in so many things, and that includes electric vehicles. China is the major market for electric vehicles. And so what we're seeing now is we're seeing people anticipating electric vehicle sales going south in a big way. This is my theory, I should say. That's why the lithium stocks are being hammered so bad. It's not because of lithium prices. Lithium prices are high, or I should say high compared to where they used to be. The problem is the anticipation of what's going to happen to that market, which is basically a story we can tell across the market for all sorts of things, but especially in lithium, because it has run on fumes for so long. And now people are saying, wait a minute, things are going bad in China in a big way, and that's going to affect EV demand. And so get me out of these lithium stocks right now. And so that's what we're seeing there. And that ticks me off, because I really like the EV space. I really do. And it worked so well for so long, and now it's just, you know, dumping me right on my butt. I hate that. But, you know, you win some, you lose some. I have to say that.
Some good comments there, Sean. No one to hold them, no one to fold them, no one to walk away. One other sector I'd love to get your thoughts on, though, which I know you follow closely, is the uranium sector. It had a epic move for a couple of years, and it really peaked last year at the end of the year. It sold off from November to February, let's say, a lot of the uranium mining stocks. But then they started bouncing again, and recently they've tanked with the rest of the market. How are you playing the uranium space right now?
I'm watching my Cameco position with grim fortitude. Damn, that peaked in April. And, oh, man, I was so happy. It looked like a breakout. It looked like a breakout in April, which shows that, you know, since we're doing old Wall Street sayings, every sunken ship has a chart. If you looked at a chart of like Cameco in April, you're saying this thing's breaking out. It's going higher. That's a fantastic thing to see. And then it just nosed right over and it's going down lower. And I know the smaller stocks get hammered even worse because, you know, they don't have the income that Cameco does. Cameco actually had good earnings in like the last one. Market doesn't care. What the heck's going on? I don't know. This is hard to figure out, especially when you look at the uranium risk concerning Russia. This makes no sense to me. Are they going to stop building nuclear power plants? We're only hearing about more nuclear power plants being built and Japan bringing some of its own plants back online. I can't figure this out. I know that I will hold Cameco, probably longer than I should if things go further south. But I think it looks cheap here. I mean, dang, when you look at it, I mean, this is a producing uranium miner. The price of uranium, it's been fluctuating, but it's higher than it used to be. And it's probably going to go much higher in the future. Of course you want to own Cameco.
That's a good way to look at it there, Sean. I do want to follow up with one thing you said, though, is that you do a lot of research, active research into stocks. You're out there trying to find the strongest stocks, whether fundamentally or the best growth profiles for these stocks. But as we're seeing, if a sector's going down, if the markets are going down, it doesn't matter how good the stock might look to you through your models, it can get sold off hard. What do you do in those situations? Do you average down? Do you throw in the towel and wait for a bottom? How do you play that?
I've averaged down a couple times in the past year, and I have regretted it tremendously. That averaging down was done in the cannabis sector. Boy, did I live to regret that. I seem to have the luck of catching most trends early. Not all trends, most trends. So oftentimes when the sell-off comes, I have some gains. And when I get nervous and scared, one thing I often do is if I have a position with gains, I'll sell half of it, right? I mean, hey, this thing's down 10% in like 2 days. What the hell's going on? I don't know. You know, obviously I'm not one of the Wall Street insiders trading tips out on the golf course, which is what they all do. They're all inside traders. So I just do that. And that way, because you have a profit, even if it's only what, 10%, 15%, 25%, even if it's only that, that gives you a cushion on your remaining shares. And I highly recommend everyone do that. And also what I often do is I sell the worst performers in any 1 week period. Because if they really underperform this week, and you think that trend might hold, you know they're going to underperform next week, right? I mean, just because, and like you might be looking at it saying, fundamentally, this is a great stock. Why is this happening? We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. They might be having a change, say, on the board. And so some guy got kicked off the board and he's really mad and he's selling all his shares. I can't tell you how many times I've seen that, by the way. And then you only find out when the news comes out later. But it was this one guy who was ticked off at everybody, so he sold all his shares in the company. Or it could be that, you know, people are like checking their channels, seeing what's happening with like revenues, and things aren't working out the way they used to, especially in a cyclical business. That can happen a lot. So there's a lot of things going on that we don't know, so you have to respect the price action. And so I know there's a lot of people looking at, say, gold miners. And of course, this is me calling the bottom in gold miners right now because I'm saying this. But the action in gold miners recently has been terrible. Until and unless that changes, it's probably going to continue to be terrible. I want to bottom in gold miners more than anything. I really do. I have gold positions, gold miner positions, silver miner positions, explorers, developers. I own them. I want them to go higher. But I'm going to respect the tape right now and say what it's pointing to is more downside. Now, hopefully I just jinxed myself right there and I just called the bottom in gold miners. Let's hope that happens. But if that doesn't happen, then, you know, we are going down much further. I mean, not much further, but looking at the projections, I'd say another 15%, you know, 15% in the gold miners. So look at your portfolio, folks. Can you ride out another 15% down in these things? Or are there other things you want to own, but you don't have the money for it right now? So you'd be better off selling what you have and raising the cash so that when the bottom comes, you can buy other things. Are there other things you want to own for the rally that is coming? You know there's a rally coming. So what do you want to own in that rally? Align your portfolio now with what you want to own in that rally, even if you don't buy things yet. Just get rid of the stuff you don't want to own for the rally. I mean, that's just the common sense that you hear on like Wall Street all the time, but it's true. Just make sure that you are aligned with where you think the market's going.
I don't think you're the only one frustrated by moves in any stocks or in any of these sectors, because unless you're on the short side, which has been a very tough trade over the last decade plus, then you're losing money. So yeah, one of those aspects, Sean, I'm sure when we chat in another couple of weeks that something will reverse. But right now, boy, oh boy, it has been a tough time for investors broadly. And
I do think that a lot of people are just turning their back on these markets and saying, screw it, I'm going back to work. Investing doesn't work for me.
Yeah, but one thing they're probably not doing, they're probably not buying Bitcoin.
No.
Have you seen what's happened in the cryptocurrencies?
That's another one. Yep.
I mean, horrific. And then NFTs, the value in that entire market just vaporized. What the hell's going on there? So I'm sticking to the things I understand. This is one reason I've always liked real assets. And I've told my bosses whenever they try and make me cover like some weird kind of tech stuff, I only really like covering things I understand. I understand hard assets. And I know that the world needs more of them all the time. And so I think that we will come to a bottom in the market sooner than later. And then we're going to see things turn around, and we are still in a commodity bull market. And that's going to help lead the way higher. Things like oil, copper, which has had a terrible time recently. That's just making it cheaper. You know, these things will lead the way higher when the bottom comes. And so I am preparing for that. We don't have huge portfolios right now. Took a whole bunch of gains, cut some losses. We have those inverse funds on there for protection, but the next launch is coming. And so that's just the way I look at it.
All right. Hey, a little light at the end of the tunnel. We just don't know how long this tunnel is going to be. Sean, thank you as always for your time, buddy. It's always enjoyable and entertaining chatting with you. We'll chat again in another couple weeks.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.